I asked Rhonda to come up and share a few things with us. We're going to start a series on suffering for Christ, mostly from 1 Peter. Most of you who've been here know that every year we spend a little time in 1 Peter on this subject because it is so essential to our understanding of living out Christian life. And Rhonda's journey really started with us about 16 years ago. And I'm just going to let her kind of pick up there and kind of share a little of her story, because it's such a clear, powerful demonstration of how, even when times get tough, God uses those things in our lives. But let me let you just go ahead and start off.
We were members of Eastwood about 16, 17 years ago. And while we were here, I heard someone pray, "Lord Jesus, I just love you so much." And in my heart, I said, "God, I don't love you like that. Will you help me love you like that? I don't." Well, we eventually left the church and went to another church. And we were living in Ottawa. And I heard someone in our Sunday school class said these words. She said, "I heard someone say, 'Lord, help me be willing to do whatever you've called me to do.'" And from that point, that was about 2 years after we left here, I started praying that prayer too. And soon after that, my husband's grandfather had a heart attack. And we were in the process of selling our home. We had bought a piece of property in Ottawa, a little over an acre, with fruit trees. It was hidden on Old Hunter Road. It was beautiful. We were going to build our dream house. Well, soon after we actually sold our house, we learned that our property wasn't valued what we thought it was. So we had to sell it for less than we thought. So that was one thing that was like, oh, what are we going to do? Then we ended up moving in with his grandfather because he needed someone to help take care of him. And Steve also, at this time, his job, they cut his salary. So we're like, oh, we can't afford to build a house now. We have less money from our equity of our home, and we have less of a paycheck. We can't afford to build a house now. So we were living with his grandfather, and he passed away. And my husband got a different job down in Dalton. So we had to sell our beautiful acre lot and move to Ringgold, Georgia.
Which is paradise.
Yeah. That is not where we wanted to be. We wanted to be in Ottawa on Old Hunter Road on our acre lot. So that was about 14 years ago. God moved us down to Ringgold. Well, we homeschooled at this time, and God opened a door to, I read in the newsletter that there was interpretive dance, and my daughter was almost 4, and oh, I'm going to get her interpretive dance. This is so exciting. Well, a couple years after she was about 5, she'd been there about 2 or 3 years, and they started an adult class. And I secretly wanted to join it, but I couldn't because I don't know why. I never even went to a school dance. And my husband, behind my back, signed me up. And I started dancing for Jesus, and he answered my prayer that I would fall in love with him through dance. I praised him with my whole self, and I fell in love with my Jesus at that time. We also started going to a co-op, Catoosa Homeschool Co-op. And there I met a whole army of women who loved Jesus and who prayed and who became my best friends. I mean, I have a ton of best friends. And we were just going along happily. I was doing Bible studies, leading Bible studies. I was loving Jesus I felt for the first time in my life in a deeper way. And September 2012, right before this, my son was going to go, I forgot about this. This is another God part. In July 2011, my son graduated from our homeschool, and he was accepted to Shorter University, and he had academic scholarships, but we also would have to have a little bit of debt. And he decided at the very last minute, he already had a roommate, a whole nine yards, that he didn't want to go into debt and he would just stay home. Well, the very next year, I was diagnosed with stage 3 colon cancer. And I needed my son at home, and God knew it. He knew it ahead of time that I would need him, and that he would need to be at home with us. So he worked it out, and my son listened to Jesus. So September 2012, I had a colonoscopy, and they discovered a tumor. And they originally told us that it was something called in situ, which is precancerous. So I was like, yes, God saved me. I don't have to go through cancer. So we scheduled the surgery for 2 weeks out. And the scheduler called me, and she said, would you like to move your surgery date up a week? And I said, sure, the sooner the better. She said, there's a farmer who wants to get his hay in, and he wants to switch places with you. So I got my surgery a whole week earlier, which was a good thing because I was stage 3B, and I needed to get that tumor out. God knew. He prepared the way. So here we are. I had our church and our co-op started a meal plan thing that you do online. And for 8 months, church, for 8 months, my co-op, army, and my church, I did not have to make one meal. There were so many people asking me to take me to treatments and to doctor appointments that I couldn't even use them all. So many people. God provided. Now, I didn't want cancer. I told God a long time ago, you know I can't handle cancer because I don't like to be sick. But this is something that I'm so thankful for because of where he's brought us. And in the hospital room, when the doctor told us that it was malignant, as soon as the words left his mouth, malignancy, I felt the Holy Spirit's presence where I couldn't turn to the left or the right. And he told me, this is for my glory, Rhonda. This is for my glory. So I did 8 months of chemotherapy, 11 treatments, and it was hard. And I was weak. I was fatigued. I was sick. But what my husband said in the hospital room, Jesus wants us closer to him, and he did. And we grew closer to him through this whole time. At the end of it, I had a celebration, like over 60 people came to my celebration, and I thought I was done. And that year, my daughter started playing volleyball with a homeschool group, and she fell in love with that sport. And then she asked to go to school because she wanted to take the sport further. And we're like, school? We homeschool. We don't go to school. And so we started looking into sending her to a private Christian school down in Chickamauga. And in February of 2014, I was about to sign the check to send her to that school when they discovered another tumor, and this time in my lung. My cancer had metastasized to my left lung and had to schedule a surgery to have a lung resection. So there went any money we would have sent our daughter to school. So what do we do now? Well, God whispered in our ears, Ringgold High School. We're like, now we don't even want to live in Ringgold.
But they're changing their mind.
But there's no way I was ever going to send my daughter to a public school in Ringgold especially. But God changed our hearts. Madison and I toured, and I was actually pretty impressed with that school. And so she passed the end of course test for ninth grade year because she would be going into 10th grade, and they put her in honors classes because she passed them so well. And she made the varsity volleyball team. This is last year. August of last year, she made the varsity volleyball team her first time going out. And in the stands, God gave me a mission field. I was so excited. He gave me a boldness and a confidence that I had never had before to tell people. I didn't have to tell them the whole Romans road. I was scared to death my whole life that I would get it wrong when I tried to witness to someone. But you know what? All you got to do is tell them that Jesus loves them and Jesus loves me and God is faithful. And I was telling people on the other people's mom and daddies, on the other people's team, that Jesus loves them and Jesus loves me and this is what he did for me. I was telling mamas on our team that Jesus loves them. And one particular mom, her name is Kim, in August, we were at a tournament, and she came up to me, and while we were in between games, and she said, Rhonda, she kind of sidled up to me kind of quietly and said, Rhonda, are you afraid to die? Because, see, I've told her my story. And I said, no, Kim, I'm not afraid to die. I said, I don't want to die and leave my children and my husband. I love my life, but I know God is real. He showed up for me when I needed him. He lavishly loved me. That's what I brought this for, to show you. These are cards and letters I got in 8 months. It fills a whole box. Each one, God showed me that he loved me. He loved me. He loved me. He did not forsake me. He did not forget me. I'm his, and he is mine, and I don't have to be afraid. And I told her the gospel. I said, no, heaven's real. God is real. Jesus is real. You can trust him. And that's all she said. 3 weeks later, we got a call that she had been taken to the emergency room. And they had to do an MRI because she was having headaches and throwing up. And they discovered a tumor in her brain. She had no idea. Steve and I went to the hospital, and I went back to the ICU room. She has an older daughter. One of her daughters is on Madison's team, and she has an older daughter who's about 25. And she was back there with her mom, and I went back there, and she said, Miss Rhonda, this is October 2014. I have another tumor. Guess what? My third tumor. And I just found it. They just found it in October, just a couple of weeks before Kim was diagnosed. And so I was just now going through visiting the doctors again, figuring out what our next treatment plan was going to be, the same time that she was diagnosed with stage 4 glioblastoma. In the hospital room, Kara said, Miss Rhonda, how do you have such peace when you're going through what you're going through too? And I said, Kara, it's not me. It's Jesus in me. That's the only way I can have peace, is Jesus. And a couple of days later, the biopsy came back that it was stage 4 glioblastoma. And Kara called and asked our family to come to the hospital while they told the younger two children, 14 and 12-year-old then. So we went to the hospital, and Kara said, my mom wants to see you first, Rhonda. So I went into her room, and she said, Rhonda, have you heard I'm going to die? And I said, yes, Kim, I heard. And she said, Rhonda, can you help me be sure I can go to heaven? And I said, yes, ma'am, I can. And she said, is Steve here? Because you don't know this, my husband's very quiet, but he has a very dry sense of humor, and he and Kim clicked. And she wanted me to get Steve, so I went the hallway to get Steve. And he and I were able to lead her to Jesus, and she prayed to ask Jesus as her Savior and Lord that night. So, do you see where we came from, Ottawa? We did not want to go to Ringgold. I did not want to be in Ringgold, but God did it for me to... while I was going through a very hard time, surrounded me with literally an army of people to support us. And he led us to Ringgold High School, of all places, because one lady needed Jesus at one point in time. And would I ever want to do cancer again? No, but am I? Yes. I now have a fourth tumor that we're fighting. I'm going through chemotherapy right now. But I just hope you see the hand of God in our path, changing our direction from what we wanted to what he wanted. And here we are.
I want to ask you just a couple of other little questions, too, as you went there. Kim, her answer to her prayer, seeking that God would, that she would find Christ in that difficult situation, was also an answer to an earlier prayer you had.
Yeah.
Because you had prayed when you found out that you had the cancer, that God would not waste it, but that He would use it.
I didn't want to waste it because I felt like I might waste this time. I did not want to suffer. Nobody does. But I did not want to waste it because I felt like I'd wasted so much time that I could have been telling people about Jesus, and I didn't, and I wasn't, because I was afraid that I didn't know the Romans Road right. But I discovered I didn't have to.
So really God used some of these things in your life to really bring a clear focus to
right.
you of why you were here.
That's right.
And it's difficult. And God has blessed you, and you, as you look back, can see how He was preparing everything ahead of you for His will, and you were in the center of His will.
Right.
I'm just going to bring up what happened the other day. You had told me this story, and I knew that you wanted to share it, and we wanted you to share it. And I was actually holding this series off until you could share it. And I talked to you about bringing some food the other day, and you said, I want to talk to you also about the thing we talked about, which was sharing. And I said, well, good, because that was on my mind also. And God had cleared a path for you to be able to speak here, not having that chemotherapy earlier like normal, but having it on Tuesday, and it fit in everything with the schedules and stuff that we had. And so I said I was coming over, and about 2 minutes after I said that, you got a text from Kim's family.
And they said that she, just a few weeks ago, they originally gave her 2 years to live, and about 4 weeks ago, they gave her 4 to 6 weeks to live. And literally 2 minutes after Bill called me, I got a text saying, her blood pressure, they can't get a blood pressure on her, and her heart rate is dropping. So she is really near death's door right now. They just put her in a nursing home on Friday because the family can no longer take care of her at home. And
the reason I brought that up is because when I pulled up, you were sitting on the porch.
Sobbing.
And I didn't realize you were there until I got up and started to walk, and I saw you, you know, crying, and I asked you what was wrong, and you told me, and it was a time where we could talk just a little bit about some really important things, and one of those things that really came to light is that when you struggle through tough times, there's a lot of things that could come that can knock the wind out of you,
right?
And the devil wants to use those to discourage us and to send us thinking in different directions. And as we came there, you don't mind me sharing this, do you?
Yeah.
As we sat down there, you know, Rhonda was her heart was pouring out for her friend, and also it brought up thoughts
myself.
That yourself and right. and you know and the situation that you're in and that you're battling, and It gave us the opportunity to stop and look and say, okay, you know, there's a war going on.
Mm-hmm.
And the war is more than just the physical things you're enduring. It's a
right.
it's a battle for your soul.
Right.
And
for my faith.
Of your faith.
Yes.
And God wants you close to Him, and He wants you to have a faith where He can reveal Himself to you and then reveal Himself through you because
right.
of that faith. And nobody wins every battle.
Right.
And that was a battle you were struggling with, and we were able to look and say, okay, what's God doing in the war? How has God led you, and how have you responded to Him? And you're a human being like every human being.
Right.
And
I don't do this perfectly.
And we all have emotions, mm-hmm. but your heart has been focused on knowing God, pleasing God, and serving God, following Him faithfully wherever He leads you. And it has transformed your life.
It has transformed my life. I'm a different Christian. I have a stronger, deeper faith that I didn't have before. I grew up in the church. I was saved when I was six. I've always gone to church, and I've always, God's always, I feel like, had his hand on me, but he's brought me to such a deeper level I didn't even know existed.
Yes.
I maybe had seen it and like wanted it but didn't know how to get there.
Right.
And the only way to get there is through suffering.
And as God does that in your heart, you see the doors are opened to share that with other hearts.
Right.
Like Kim's.
Right.
And she's not the only one that your life has touched.
No.
But that was a wonderful story, and I wanted to share it with you because it does encompass what God wants to do in every one of our lives. And it is easy to get sidetracked and lose our focus. And we all lose battles, and we all have to fight them. But we want to win the war.
Right.
We want to be conquerors and victorious
right.
as we fight. Let me just pray for you and,
okay.
and thank you. Father, thank you so much for what you've done in Rhonda's heart. And really what's in her heart is what you desire for the normal Christian life. And all of us have extraordinary events. And all of us face really difficult things at times. And occasionally, some of us have to face huge events like the ones that Rhonda and her family are called through. But you are with us every step of the way. And you allow nothing into our lives that is not your plan for good. And the battle that wages is the one in our hearts and our minds about whether our hope and our faith is placed on you and your goodness and your wisdom and your plan for our lives, or whether it focuses on ourself and the struggles rather than on the purpose. And I just thank you, Lord, for the way that you have just so perfectly and clearly shown that in Rhonda. And I pray that your Spirit will speak to us in our hearts right now as we look at your word. And I pray, Father, that you will help each one of us to look deep within, examine ourselves to make sure we're actually walking and living in the faith. Not knowing about the faith and having that little nagging thing inside where we know we really don't love you. We really don't have that close connection with you. We want it, but we don't know how to get it. And we don't want to live in that way, separated from you at all. And so, Father, I pray you will help us to examine ourselves and remove anything in our hearts that is blocking our vision of why you have us here on earth and is keeping us from walking hand in hand with you and experiencing your great love and your peace and your joy. And the excitement of knowing that no matter what happens to us, you are working in miraculous ways that show us eternity and help us keep our problems in perspective. I thank you for Rhonda. I pray you will continue to bless her and continue to let her story ring in our hearts because it's your story. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.